We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's the Cavs Roundtable on the Bull and Fox Show. Jason Lloyd of The Athletic, Joe Varden, Cleveland.com, and Dave McMenamin of ESPN. They've been with us for 2 hours. We've got one more big hour, guys. We were just talking about the championship. And the parade. Jason, you were saying during a break that that you didn't end up in the right spot for the parade, right? No.
Tactical error on my part. I watched the parade. I had some stuff to do with Channel 3 pre-parade. So I just thought, I'm just going to hang out on their balcony and watch from there. They had a rooftop balcony at one of the hotels that overlooked the parade route. That's pretty cool. I'll stay up here and watch it. And I gave my ropes pass to Marla Ridenour, who was the columnist of the Beacon Journal. At the time, she since replaced me as the beat writer at the Beacon. So I'm standing up there watching, you know, just enjoying the day. It's a beautiful day.
Having a good old time.
Oh, it was having a great time. Did our TV hits. We're just hanging out. And my phone starts buzzing because LeBron had told Joe, I'm coming back. He was a free agent at the end of the year. I'm coming back. And then next, LeBron tells Dave.
I got it
Dave,
maybe 10 minutes after Joe. Yeah.
I'm coming back. And meanwhile, I am on the opposite end of the parade route, and there are literally 1 million people separating me from getting there. I have zero chance of being able to get there in time to hear him tell me that. So it was just a day of torment, because while everyone else is having this wonderful parade day, I am in agony going, I have to get LeBron to tell me this. And after the parade, they do their thing on the stage and everything else. LeBron's the first one off the stage, and I leave like the little bullpen pit they had set up. And I go running for him, and he sees me, and I'm trying to get his attention. He like gives me the heads up, and he gives me like a thumb, and he disappears. I'm like, no! So I did not enjoy the parade nearly as much as everybody else did.
I walked with LeBron and LeBron's car for the entire 4 hours. And Marla did for most of it as well, too, but a bunch of the pictures that you see of LeBron, like anything that was taken up close, the guy in the purple hat is me. And it was sweltering heat, and it was worse for LeBron and his wife, Savannah, who rode the whole time with him because of the heat coming off the car.
And yeah. Zuri, too.
Well, they were able to hand her off.
Hand her off, right.
After a while, and there were some really scary moments because there were no police barricades, and so fans were getting right up on us, and security and a few police officers were trying their best to keep fans off the car and not have them get run over, and so you know some people killed Bron for swearing a couple times when he was on the stage, but I mean he had to be delirious at that point from the heat and just the emotion of an entire day. It really was.
And exhausting. A bunch of players were saying that they were like dehydrated. They ran out of water. They were out there so much longer.
They were drinking something else.
Well, yeah, they were.
But,
but I remember one of them saying that they felt so dehydrated by the end because it took so much longer to go the path than they were planning on.
I was for a lot of it. I was where Joe was, and so when they pulled up past the parking garage across from the queue, where that moment where LeBron was standing up front of the car, putting his arms out with the billboard in view, I took a shot. I'm pretty proud of it, and you know it kind of resurfaced this week with the billboard coming down. And in the foreground, you can see Joe. You can see Joe in his purple hat. So, so just look out for that next time you see that photo.
If you looked up on the balcony, you would see me. Way up there.
Waving his hands to Marla. Marla!
Get LeBron to tell you he's coming back.
Guys, we've got an hour to go. Not even an hour.
I can't believe we've been here 2 hours. It feels like we've been here 20 minutes.
Flying by. You can stay as long as you want, boys. But seriously, we have so much to get into, and we didn't even talk about Dan Gilbert. And I want answers, guys, because I don't know Dan. All I hear is the stories, the behind-the-scenes stuff. Like, I don't know what to believe about Dan Gilbert, the man who owns the Cavs.
I'll start with this. And this is not to, like,
okay,
not to like choose a side, but I think this is context that should be mentioned. When Dan met with LeBron in Miami, the deal was, you got to do whatever it takes to have us field a championship contender every year. And he did that. I mean, he spent just on roster alone outside luxury tax is over $50 million more than any other team in the last 4 years. And then in terms of luxury tax, over the last 3 years, he spent $130 million in luxury tax, and every other owner combined spent $131 million in luxury tax. So just in terms of that, and life's about more than just money, but he did fulfill his end of the bargain.
Absolutely, he did.
Now.
All right, that's more, I need more than that.
It's not just spending the money doesn't make
right.
you a good owner.
Absolutely. I'm just, yeah. I just think if he's going to be vilified, and he will to a certain degree because the fact of the matter is he lost the best player of the generation twice.
Yes.
You should just remember that part.
The other thing, I mean, Jason, I feel like Jason would know Dan certainly a lot better than us. For one, Jason was here, as he mentioned, he's been here for 8 years. So in that it was after LeBron was gone the first time, and Dan was much more public than he has been the last 4 years. He had a lot more conversations with reporters in those days than he has now, and so you know it's up to Jason to say what he wants to say about who Dan is. But the thing, and I may have even said this on your airways before, but so much was made about some perceived or alleged crumbling of a relationship between LeBron and Dan. And that is so dramatically overblown or misplaced because they never had a relationship to begin with.
Right.
This was strictly business in the purest sense. There was never like a burying of the hatchet to the point where like, oh, we're going to come back and be friends. I mean, like Dave said, when they got together in Miami, Dan had to promise that he would spend what it took to put a championship team on the floor. He did that. And then otherwise, like LeBron was here for a bunch of other reasons, and none of them had to do with Dan. So, you know, LeBron and Dan, like their relationship isn't why LeBron is gone. If they had a better one, you know, there would have been maybe more consideration on LeBron's part to want to stay. But I think their relationship was fairly consistent throughout the whole 4 years, which is just they didn't really have much of one.
Neither one of them trusted the other, and I think you saw that. And everyone gets upset and says, well, if LeBron would have given the Cavs the type of commitment he gave L.A., things would have been different here. Well, it's because he never trusted Dan. He signed, you know, when he left for Miami, he signed for 4 years guaranteed. When he leaves for L.A., he signs for 3 years guaranteed. He hasn't given the Cavs a three-year commitment since 2006. Coming off his rookie contract is the last time he signed for a minimum of 3 years because he just didn't trust Dan. Now you can get into whether or not he was right to do so or whatever else, but I'm just telling you, that is more proof than anything I can tell you about him as an owner that LeBron would never commit to even 3 years with him, but he was willing and eager to do so in L.A. and Miami.
And guys, hasn't that held the Cavs back? Like,
sure.
Wouldn't the Cavs have so many more opportunities to sign better free agents that would if LeBron would commit – okay, cool, I'll go sign in Cleveland because I know LeBron's going to be there. It's not just a one-year deal. I mean, it's hard to look at that and say it's all LeBron's fault, it's all Dan's fault. They were just bad together, I think, to some degree.
Like that's a little bit of a misnomer, though, because of their cap situation. It wasn't like they had all this space and they were missing out on these marquee free agents. They already had the cap space tied up. And so they were getting guys on the margin. They still got guys on the margin. Richard Jefferson, you know, took a financial sacrifice to be here. Sean Marion, financial sacrifice to be like. So I'm not so sure. I mean, that's an easy way for the Cavs to spin it, but I don't know if that, outside of the actual trust factor, and you can say he literally did not give the same commitment, I don't know how it manifested in a negative way for the Cavs.
I've talked to other people with executives of other teams who said it's incredibly difficult to run a franchise when you don't have that type of commitment from your star. That you're always living in the moment. And again, we go back to...
Well, guess what? They have commitments from their stars, and they haven't made a 4 straight finals.
But I'm saying we go back to the trade last summer of Kyrie. If they have any sort of trust that LeBron's going to stay, they probably... The shape of that deal looks a lot different. They're not planning for his departure a year away. But I'm not defending the Cavs and Dan at all. I'm just saying I've talked to a lot of people who say it's very difficult to run an organization when you don't have that, when your star is always in line.
And I know you're not caping for that position, but right. Like my just automatic knee-jerk response to it is they should have put everything to the center of the table. You're talking about once-in-a-generation talent.
I agree. Totally. Well, which is why I killed her for the Kyrie trade last summer.
I actually think, I mean, the three of us know this probably better than anybody, that there is just throughout this whole year, while LeBron might leave or he might stay, there's just been jockeying for position on both of them as to who is going to get the blame.
Yes.
And I think to a large degree, both of them are off. You know, LeBron, as we mentioned, he always wanted to play for the Lakers. And he has at times complained about this roster, but the fact of the matter is Dan paid the money that he needed to pay. And they built a team that was capable of winning championships. I mean, it's certainly no one's fault on the Cavs that Kevin Durant showed up in Golden State. It just isn't. Right. So Dan did it. And then this stuff about needing a commitment from LeBron to trade for Paul George is asinine. It is absolutely insane because your goal should be to try to win as many championships as you can win in the moment because you don't know what the future holds. Okay, yeah. So I don't want to hear about, well, we want to be in a better position to rebuild. Like, you don't need to be thinking about rebuilding. You've got LeBron James right now.
And that's what I've been saying okay? last year.
So both of them are wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
LeBron sold Dan way short on what Dan was able to do and the team that was built here. And also this like line, and Dan's never said this publicly, but we know that this is the line that's being pushed to some national reporters and things like that. It's crazy. Like, you make the trade that you think that you need to make to get Paul George.
Look what Oklahoma City did. They went all in and traded for Paul George, having no commitment from Russ. Russ hadn't signed the contract.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they could have lost everyone and had nothing to show for anything. And Sam Presti went all in, and now they got Paul George locked up long-term and Russell Westbrook locked up long-term. The Cavs were presented with the exact same scenario, and they went the opposite way. And they ended up losing Kyrie for almost nothing. We'll see what Colin Sexton turns into. And they're going to lose LeBron for nothing.
Yeah, fortune favors the brave. And they were trying to outthink it.
But Dan's always been, like, when LeBron was here the first time, you talked to people who were around the Cavs, and it was always, don't worry about a plan B. Plan B takes away from plan A. We are only focusing on this. And I think it got so bad, and we can get into that too, about what it's going to look like now. I don't think it's going to look as bad as it was from 10 to 14 when he was gone the first time. It was that bad for a reason. They wanted it to be that bad. It doesn't have to get that ugly again with the 26-game losing streak and all that. But that first year after LeBron left was just a miserable death march for everybody involved, and I think they were trying to avoid that.
Well, we spent the last 2 hours and 20 minutes talking a lot about the past. Now it's time to look at the future. And the future, unfortunately, for Cavs fans is not as bright as the past. Now you're starting over. The question is, will they completely start over? I know, Joe, you said over the weekend, I talked about it on my Saturday show, you reported that this was before LeBron, you know, the report came out that LeBron was leaving. You said that Dan had said, or you were reporting that Dan was not going to trade Kevin Love. Jason, you said this week that Dan is going to trade Kevin Love, or you think he is.
He's shopping him.
They're shopping. Right.
And we'll wrestle for it and see who.
fight.
I first reported they weren't. It's two against one, Jason.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. I'm hoping you guys are wrong and Jason's right because they got to trade him.
This is more about whether or not the Cavs believe they should completely rebuild post-LeBron and what that actually looks like. And this is more about when they have – when they can make a draft pick. If you trade Kevin now and you trade him for spare parts, then theoretically you make your team so bad that that you'll be within the top 10. And if by top 10, I mean the top 10 draft picks or the 10 worst teams. If the Cavs do that, then they get to make their pick in the 2019 draft. If they finish outside of the bottom 10, then their pick goes to Atlanta, I believe. So the question is, do you make yourself that bad right now to try and get there, or do you go with what you have largely and try to win now? Most observers in the NBA believe that they should tear it down right now. Trade Kevin right now, be as bad as you can be, and then you get your draft pick and you move on.
Mediocrity is not celebrated whatsoever in the NBA. But what we know about Dan Gilbert and the pride factor, to know what the franchise went through the last time with those 4 years of being a cellar dweller, there could just be a value to him personally to make the playoffs after LeBron left.
But there's something else that is
And it's his team.
But there's something very, like, there's a piece of this that just never gets talked about. And we need to throw it out there. And it's counterintuitive to just this idea that they need to rebuild right now. if the Cavs are so bad this year that they get to make their pick, they don't get to make their pick the next year.
Right.
They don't have a first-round pick. So think about that for a minute. You would be so bad.
Wait a minute. It's top 10 protected.
No. So
18 and 19, it's both top 10 protected.
And then it goes to a second round.
And then it becomes
round,
two second-rounders in 20.
Yeah.
So you're saying that
it's the same. It's the same restrictions in 19 and 20 that it is in 19. It's top 10 protected both years.
Well, that would be. I mean, I guess that's.
So you got to be a top. You got to be a bottom 10 team really two years in a row.
2 years in a row. 2 years in a row.
And then it becomes second round picks, and you don't care.
Then it becomes second round picks. Right. Yeah. And maybe I am incorrect on that, but it was my understanding that the trade is top 10 protected
for 2 years.
For 2 years, it's top 10 protected, and then after that, it becomes two second rounders.
Maybe I don't know.
Maybe
sure.
my information on that is inaccurate, but that's the way. That's my understanding of it, which is why. First of all, I've had other teams tell me they are shopping him. And secondly, the Cavs were adamant, we are not trading Andrew Wiggins for Kevin Love right up until the day they traded Andrew Wiggins for Kevin Love. So you can't always believe the posturing that an organization does. Now, will they hold on to Kevin? They could because of exactly what Dave just said, the pride factor of Dan and proving he can still win without LeBron. Because when LeBron left the first time, this team lost 26 games in a row and 36 of 37. But that goes back to the point I was making earlier. They were the worst team in the league the 4 years LeBron was gone for a reason, because they were trying to prepare the organization for a chance to get him back in 2014. That meant losing a lot of games, stockpiling a lot of high draft picks, protecting cap space, and winning was not part of the equation during that four-year span. No one in the organization, players want to win, coaches want to win. Front office did not care about winning during those 4 years. They cared about positioning this organization to be attractive to LeBron when they came back, when he was a free agent again in 2014. It worked. He came back. They won a championship. The plan worked. You're not planning for LeBron, a 37-year-old LeBron, to come back now. You don't have to wait 4 years. History will show, when LeBron left the first time, I looked into this, history will show that it takes about 10 years for a franchise to recover from losing a superstar. If you go back and you look at what happened to the Celtics after Larry Bird left, what happened to the Bulls when Michael left, Orlando after Shaq left, it takes about a decade for teams to recover and make it to be an impactful team in the playoffs. The Utah Jazz were like the one exception to that. They lost Malone and Stockton, and they flipped it really fast. And I talked to their GM at the time about how they did that and wrote a story on it. It was really interesting. But they're the exception. They're not the rule. The rule is normally it takes about 10 years. There is no reason for this team to hold on to Kevin Love, because he's got 1 year left of team control, and I promise you he is gone next year. So what are you holding on for? What are you really trying to accomplish? And their books clean up in 2 years. Once they get through the JR contract, once they get through the Tristan contract, over the next 2 years, their cap sheet is really clean. So it makes more sense to make this pick with Atlanta, turn it into two twos, be really bad for the next 2 years. You'll have a clean cap. You'll have this young nucleus of at least a couple. If you draft right, which we don't know if they'll hit on these picks or not. We have no idea. I'm not going to say that they are incapable of doing it. They haven't done it. But if Colin Sexton turns out to be a player and they can get a couple guys, you know, I've said this all along, and I maintain basketball in Cleveland will never be what it was these last four. They will never get it back to that level. But you could have a competitive team that makes the playoffs and have fun with that, unless you get incredibly lucky in the draft and find another transcendent generational player that it can happen.
The Thunder did.
Sure.
Draft three MVPs.
Yeah, it can happen, but the odds are
But all that got out of that was one finals loss.
It's amazing. It's amazing. So, I've had other teams tell me they are shopping Kevin. They are open to moving him. That doesn't necessarily mean they're going to. I think Kevin's a great player. You said trade him for spare parts. I'm not trading him for spare parts. I think they can get some pieces that will help spur this rebuild along. But to me, if Kevin Love is on this roster at the end of the season, it is an organizational failure.
Agreed. Guys?
I mean, do you just want to tear down the walls, though? I mean,
how many more games do they win with Kevin Love anyway, right? And what's the best-case scenario? They get the eighth seed and get smoked by the Celtics in the first round?
That's a great story for Dan and for Kevin if, after losing LeBron, which is basically a bomb, going on.
Yeah, Kevin's the last man standing right now.
Yeah, and if they were to somehow make the playoffs, they'd be the first team to ever lose LeBron and make it.
Okay, great.
And that would be but listen,
it's their team. And then you get a participation award.
Well, okay.
I mean, and also Kevin says, "Hey, these are the elbow touches I should have been getting the last 4 years, and I'm still obviously he'll be a free agent at that point, but
maybe
he opts in, does him a favor, and does it. They trade him then.
When
after a year of building his value.
When did Kareem leave the Milwaukee Bucks? What year? Like, does anybody know off the top of their head?
40-some-odd years
okay,
ago.
Okay, whatever that was, the yeah. Milwaukee Bucks haven't been back to the right. finals since. So, I mean, I guess you can do this, but the Cavs, actually, I believe the Cavs cap situation gets better next year because neither JR nor George Hill's contracts are guaranteed beyond just $1 million or a couple million bucks. So
it does get better.
It gets a lot better. Year, and if yes. Kevin opts out, which we all suspect that he will, they will have an absurd amount of cap space.
But the problem is who you're going to use it on because
no one's going to come to sure, sure, fine, fine. So no matter what, you're going to be bad.
Right.
And so it's like right now, if you believe you have a sliver of hope to build momentum in making the playoffs, and maybe if you make the playoffs, maybe you attract somebody to come here who might not have. I just don't see. I don't want to say that I don't see it because I do. I do understand what you're saying, but I also see the argument. You don't need the salary cap relief. They already have it. Like their books are going to be clean next year. You could trade Kevin and wind up with the eighth pick. You know,
right.
you could. I mean, there's more risk in tanking beginning this year than there's ever been. And if let's say like you trade Kevin, but Sexton is a little better than you thought, and George Hill plays, and Rodney Hood averages 20 points a game instead of 17 like he was in Utah, and you still finish 11th. Well, now you traded your all-star. No one shows up to your games, and you're still going to stink forever. So it's like I can accept the argument for trying to make a run at the bottom of the Eastern Conference playoffs. It's not foolproof. It's not perfect, but I think there is a reasonable discussion to be had there, and you can trade Kevin at the deadline. If things go the way we think they'd go anyway and they're terrible by January, trade him in February.
To that point, you know, some fans have called and said or tweeted at me and said, well, if you wait to the deadline, you could build up his value. But let me ask you this. My thought was, like, don't people know what Kevin Love is? We know that if he's the best guy on a team, he's going to score a lot more. I think everybody in the league understands that. And yet if he's on a good, really good team, like say they traded him to like Boston or mm-hmm. something because they have a lottery pick, you know, he's going to be probably what he was here, maybe a little different, but he's not a guy that can be the best guy on a championship team. So ultimately, I think his value is what it is. I don't know. Is that fair or no?
Well, I don't know what the market is for him right now, but I know they're not going to get in return what they gave up for him.
Sure.
But, you know, I would argue that
you could do Kevin for Wiggins. Right
yeah.
back.
How funny would that be?
Because Minnesota's trying to get off Wiggins.
Do it.
Right, right. But I think you can, in the summertime, you can engage a team that may not want to trade for him at the deadline. Where
right.
at the deadline, you're going to be dealing with contenders, and if you're looking at draft picks, you're getting low picks in return. Whereas you can dangle him to, I don't give me a crappy team, Phoenix. You could dangle him to a different team.
Maybe a West team especially, because the West is so deep that thinks they have a chance at the playoffs.
Yeah, well, you just dangle him to a team where they're willing to give up more for him now before the season starts, where they can sell tickets. The Cavs are locked in ticket-wise. They make the season ticket holders
right.
lock in the year before. Yeah. So they're good. Like no one's running out and buying season tickets now that LeBron's gone. Okay, he's gone. I'm in. Like you
well,
know, you may
those
have a
media
few...
seats will be great now. Be able to
they're locked in for this year, but from a season ticket perspective, like again in the pipe dream that they are competitive and are trying to make the playoffs, wouldn't that be a lot easier to sell tickets for 2019-20 than if you have begun your rebuild?
Not when Kevin leaves in July, next July, and now you're trying to get those people to re-up.
They make you re-up during the year.
Yes.
Just like what you just said.
Right. And everyone knows that Kevin will not be back beyond next season. There is
sure.
there is zero chance. Zero chance Kevin Love is
Kevin's
on this team.
Not staying in Cleveland long term.
No.
But
no.
what like let's just have the thought exercise.
Okay.
They celebrated the fact that Colin Sexton wanted to be here.
He's a rookie, of course.
Well, right. What if
Continue.
Kevin said I want to be here? And you just said it, you can't attract marquee free agents to Cleveland.
You know Kevin as well as I do. You really think he's gonna walk in there and say, I want to be here?
I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility because he may recognize that this could be the only place where he could get the max.
He could get the love, too.
Okay, no.
No pun intended.
I don't see that. He's not.
Well,
he's
do you think he'll be a max player on the market outside of Cleveland?
Would Gilbert pay him the max?
That's what I'm saying. If you had to pay a premium to keep a name,
He'll be 31 at that point.
I think he will. I mean, I want to look at all their team. I want to look at, with, like, there was nobody had room this year. I think next year is going to be a little bit different. It's a big free agent class. Right. I think that there will be more money to go around. I think he would do much better. This year, I could buy that argument. This year, if he was entering the free agent class. But, yeah, I still think he gets paid. He gets paid next year.
Like, if Kevin Love's on this team this year, he's scoring 25 a game again, doesn't he?
Sure.
Yeah, he can go back to Minnesota numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. I maintain what I said. I don't see the upside to keeping him. I don't know what it is you're trying to play for other than a participation award. And I think if he ends the season on this roster next year, it's an organizational failure. He has to be traded.
Guys,
and he's expecting to be traded. Yeah. He is expecting to be traded.
I don't know how you could. I don't know how you could lose LeBron and end up in the playoffs and call it an organizational failure.
Because they're not going to go to the playoffs.
Okay, but I'm just.
I had to scout someone the other night. This team's going to be lucky to average like 70 points a game. Now I think that's a bit extreme.
Yeah.
But the point is, this is a – look how – we were having discussions midway through the season. Is this team going to make the playoffs?
Right.
Remember that?
Yes, I do.
That was with the best player in the world on That's their team. True. You've just taken him off.
Yes.
They're not going to the playoffs.
They're, chances are – I mean, history tells us they will not.
I should not say that definitively. They could, because someone with the Cavs right now is scribbling this down and recording this to throw it in my face.
But, Jason, the only reason you'd have to give them at least a chance is just because the bottom of the
East
is so bad.
It's the
and
East.
They could win 35 games and maybe
you could
make
trip and fall into the playoffs at the bottom of the
because
East.
Because look at all the
could.
Teams that didn't make the playoffs in the East. They all stink.
Sure. And you're going to get embarrassed by Kyrie in the first round if you do that.
100%.
So, I don't play for participation awards. I think that's a silly business tactic.
Guys,
but that's just me.
You brought up their first-round pick, whose name just dropped.
Colin Sexton.
Thank you.
Colin
Sexton.
Young Bull.
Should they? I should know that. Should they?
I'll call him Colin.
Should they? He's a very confident fella. No doubt
he
about
is,
that.
Yeah.
Should they have taken a guy, and I was saying they shouldn't, but whatever, Michael Porter Jr., a Kevin Knox, a guy with more upside, knowing that LeBron was, they had to know at that point that there was a decent chance he was going to leave. And guys like Kevin Knox and Michael Porter Jr., who maybe have a low floor and could both be bust, one due to injury, but those guys both have a ton of upside. Should they have taken a chance on that, knowing that there was a good chance they were going to lose LeBron?
Well, I had someone tell me May 10th, the Cavs were either going to take Trae Young or Colin Sexton. And that was like, it's done. It's one of those two. And whichever one, like Dan loves Trae Young. That's a flashy Dan type of player. It's going to be Trae or Colin. Now, the Michael Porter thing is interesting because I was telling Dave on draft night when this became a moot point because they traded Wiggins anyway, but the Wiggins draft, when Joel Embiid was in that draft, I remember talking to someone in the organization who said Joel Embiid is the one transcendent player in this draft. He is going to be like a Hall of Fame level player, but our medical team said we cannot touch him because he's so jacked up medically. Now, I have no idea if that happened with Michael Porter Jr. or not. I don't know. But I know that the Cavs have one of the top medical teams, if not the best medical team in the league because of their relationship with the clinic. And if they went to the franchise and said you can't touch him, I know in the past the Cavs have respected the medical team's decision and said you can't take a chance on him. Did that happen with Michael? I don't know, but I know what happened with Embiid.
I think it did happen. A few days before the draft, they were, pretty much looking at drafting Colin Sexton because at the time Porter had not begun to drop yet, and the idea was, well, if Porter is there at eight, it's going to be hard for us not to take him, but we think he's going to be gone. And then that medical information started to leak out, and it got into the hands of doctors, including the Cavs, and they didn't do it.
Yeah, I mean, I got killed on Twitter draft night for relaying some information I had from talking to people with the Cavs. They were in love with Sexton as a person, and people were like, oh, well, that means that they only did that because he can't play. It's not that. Like, I value finding the right individual. Like, every guy in the draft has crazy verticals and they can do certain things on the court, but you got to find the guy that has that extra 1% that's going to turn himself into an all-star. This kid 3 or 4 years ago wasn't on anybody's radar to even get a D1 scholarship offer, and now look where he is. And as we're talking, they just had Dame Lillard up on the screen on First Take.
that same type of deal. Like, he had that internal motivation to go from Weber State into an NBA All-Star. You got to find people like that. And I think I like the idea that they believe they know him as a person. And that matters because, like, hey, Kyrie Irving has way more talent than Colin Sexton. What did that do for your organization? What did that do to build a culture? It didn't help at all.
Right. So, like, Sexton, they think, could be the face of the franchise. Yeah. At least post-LeBron until they get some more players.
Right. Right? Like, the right type of person that he's confident. you want to come to work with.
Yeah. If Kyrie Irving had some of the stuff that Sexton had, how much better would Kyrie be and how much better would the Cavs have been?
Kyrie's Vince Vaughn and Rudy and...
Before anybody knew Vince Vaughn.
Yeah, exactly, right. Yeah.
You know, it's funny along those lines real quick. I was in Secaucus the night that the Cavs won the lottery to draft Kyrie. In fact, I was in the room when the ping pong balls were drawn the night that they won the lottery to draft Kyrie. And Kyrie happened to be there because he was in West Orange, you know, lived right around the corner. So he's there. So he does media availability. And I got the joy of being the first one to ask Kyrie about replacing LeBron as the face of the franchise. And he never wanted any part of that. He bristled at that on night one that, like, don't compare the two of us. We're completely different. And I understand why he's saying that. He's a 19-year-old kid. It's unfair to compare him to LeBron even at that time. But the fact was, and the fact is now, that Colin Sexton is going to be the face of the Cavs, whether he likes it or not. Much like Kyrie was in replacing LeBron the first time, Colin will be now this time. If and when Kevin is moved, it'll be you would think it would be Colin's team.
What is the future for Ty Lue? Is there a part of Ty Lue... well, first of all, is his job secure? And is there a part of him that may be happy that the pressure is now off, assuming he keeps his job, which seems pretty obvious at this point, the pressure's off and that he will get to be a coach in the truer sense of the word? Is there any part of him that is happy LeBron's gone?
I think that the answer is yes to all this. I mean, they're certainly not going to fire him.
Right.
And I do believe now... I think he will come back, and I think within the context of understanding the best player in the world isn't on your team anymore, Ty is looking forward to, for the first time in his career, have a chance to really dictate how a team plays. Like, they had to do what LeBron wanted to do, and now they're going to do what Ty wants to do. I think he is looking forward to that.
He's getting together with Jordan Clarkson and Colin Sexton this summer in both Las Vegas and Los Angeles and doing one-on-one court work, giving what he knows as a point guard in this league and what he knows as a coach and what he wants to see these guys do on the court next year. So I think there's a little bit of wind in the sails and just a little bit of it's just there's less pressure.
Yeah. Jason?
I don't have much more to add than what they said. Yeah. I think that's pretty spot on.
You know, it's amazing. You think about it. Like, the year he takes over, they're down 3-1. They come back and win a championship. He gets no credit. Next year, if this team won 40 games and got the eighth seed, we'd be like, what a great job Ty Lue did.
Yeah, you're right.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And that will happen. Dustin and I, who have killed him often in 3 years, will be like, what a great job he's doing, Dustin. I can't believe he got this team to 40 wins.
Well, listen, didn't we say the same thing a little bit about Spoelstra? Like, he's a really good coach now. After LeBron.
You have more respect for LeBron.
Absolutely.
Right? Like, anything.
To go to the playoffs without LeBron says something.
Yeah.
I think he's a far better coach than he's ever gotten credit for in this town. And it's one of the things that grates on me is I think he was dealt a really bad hand last year, did the best he could with it. And I just think I hope that the real Ty shines through. You know, Joe's right. There was a point this year where I thought that he was not going to be back next season, whether of his own accord or the team's or a joint decision. But his contract is so heavily backloaded. He has so much more money coming to him still. It would be hard for him to walk away. Mm-hmm. I'm just guessing that they structure the contract that way and backload it because they're paying so many other coaches. They're still paying so many former people that work here that they had to put Ty's money on the back end of it. So he still has the bulk of his money still to come.
I think it's hard to appreciate how difficult it can be to coach not only a LeBron team, but a LeBron team that also has these very established veterans like Kevin or even Kyrie. Like, to try to go to them and say, well, we want you to do something different, you really can't. And then again, with LeBron, and it's all worth it because LeBron takes you to the finals and he wins you championships. But Ty was getting a lot of criticism for the team being 29th in defense. And how could any coach get any team to defend as a team when on nights the best player didn't feel like defending?
Right.
And listen, LeBron played every single game and had to carry this team offensively so you could, you know, and he's 33 years old. He's played more basketball than anyone in that time. So he knew how and when to rest to make sure he was ready for the playoffs. But the fact remains, on these given nights, he just didn't give any more effort defensively than anybody else did. How can you expect the other guys to defend if LeBron's not? And so I think that's part of why Ty was in a tough spot. I do disagree, though, at times. I think that he I don't think that he did a great job working with the talent as it became available. Like, if you think about when Ty was at his best during the regular season this year, it was when they had the fewest players available. Yeah. Like, he had less to think
right,
about.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I mean, I think I agree with Jason. I think Ty's a better coach than he gets credit for. I do not think he had a good regular season this year, but he's been I don't know what you could possibly say against him as a playoff coach, because the guy just wins in the playoffs.
Obviously, LeBron doesn't care about the coach because he hasn't even talked to Luke Walton yet, apparently, which is crazy.
Like, that's what I said earlier. He didn't care about the, you know, he didn't talk to Blatt until, what, August or September?
It was after he was on taking a break from doing train wreck
and
shooting.
Blatt had to fly to the set and met him on set. Like, he didn't care about the coach.
How do you coach a guy like that? Like, that's got to be one of the most tough or difficult jobs in all of sports, right? I mean, that's insane.
I think it's like cost-benefit analysis. Like, yeah. What do you want to do as a coach? You want to win ball games.
Yeah.
LeBron James is going to win you ball games.
Get your contract.
Like, how much do you put up? Yeah, it gets you a contract, too. Yeah. Now, Ty Lue, I was quick point. Joe and I spoke to him for like 20 or so minutes the day of the Colin Sexton press conference, and he was telling stories in such a great mood. And I was like, if he can show that guy to this town,
yeah,
he'll be totally embraced. And you know, I think something that we can't really get inside his head is, you know, if he's been dealing with the anxiety and the whole media structure around him causes him anxiety. I think that's why sometimes he comes off kind of gruff in press conferences, or you know, he doesn't want to have the back and forth, and then he comes off as looking misinformed.
Makes
but really,
he's clueless.
I think it's kind of like a defense mechanism from, I don't, you know, this stuff causes me anxiety.
He is so much different when it's one-on-one or the three of us talking to him or whatever. Yeah. He is so much different than he is on a podium or when the cameras are rolling. Right. It's two different people.
Guys, when if Magic Johnson went to LeBron today and said, hey, LeBron, we could trade for Kevin Love tomorrow. We don't have to give up that much to get him. Forget, so the package is irrelevant. It's up to you. You think we should trade for Kevin Love? What would LeBron say, guys?
No, I don't think so. I don't think he would. I think that the Lakers are going in a different direction. I think they're building a different team than what LeBron had in Cleveland. LeBron doesn't want to bring the ball up the floor like every time anymore. LeBron wants to play more in the post. He wants to be just the finisher instead of the creator and the finisher. I mean, again, I know I mentioned this at the top. I thought this was very well spelled out today, and it really turned the light on for me. Like, the Cavs were set up for LeBron to do all that stuff and for guys like Kevin to catch it and shoot it. They're going to do it entirely different in L.A. And the Cavs didn't even have the room. They just don't have the financial flexibility to change the team like that here. So, no, I don't think that LeBron would have Kevin to come out. And some of that has to do with their history together, but also some of it just has to be LeBron wants to play differently in his career than he has the last 4 years.
He values two-way players more so.
Yeah.
For all that Kevin brings to the table, he's not a two-way player.
I think that relationship between Kevin and LeBron is far more strained than people realize.
So was it ever good? Like, did LeBron want Kevin Love?
Yeah,
Was he surprised that Kevin Love didn't bring more? Or?
Yes.
He wanted him here, absolutely. And the way it was explained to me was that first year together, Kevin was not in great shape, and he had a lot of the back problems going on, and LeBron kind of got frustrated with him.
Fit out tweet.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you go back to Kevin's press conference when he was introduced here, and he said – LeBron was all over him and saying during their Team USA time together and saying, you're going to be the reason we win gold. He loved his game. He kept coming at him at Michael Jordan's 50th birthday party. He was coming at him and telling him how much he loved him and appreciated his game and wanted to play with him. And they had no relationship, so Kevin thought he was kind of blowing smoke at him and then realized he was serious. And then he got him here, and the relationship never materialized. It's even to this day, it's a lot more strained or poisoned or whatever than people realize.
Guys, real quick, Rodney Hood back. Are they going to trade Kyle Korver? Who else do you expect to be gone?
I think they'll trade Korver. Partially out of respect to him and where he is in his career. And, you know, he wasn't on the championship team like Kevin was.
Yeah.
He'd still like to get that championship. And I think there would be a ton of contenders lining up to the point where I wouldn't shock me if they got a first-round pick for Kyle Korver.
I hope those contenders watch how he played against the Warriors the last 2 years.
Can he get open? Can he get open?
If he's the seventh best player on the team, it's different than if he's asked to be the fourth best
player. Well, he was – what was he last year?
Fourth.
And I like Kyle. Kyle struggles against the Warriors.
Yeah.
We've had two series of proof now. But I agree with Dave. I think Kyle's gone. One way or another, I don't think Kyle's back on the team.
I could even see a buyout.
Absolutely. But I think that there's enough of a market, they'll get something for him. They'll have to buy him.
I think Rodney Hood, I would be actually shocked if Rodney doesn't come back.
I agree with that.
All right. The one thing they need to do, and I know we're probably running out of time, that I think the Cavs need to do is stay out of the luxury tax right now. They've got to reset. It's Dan's money. If he wants to keep spending wildly, he can. But they really need to reset their clock on the luxury taxes. Stay out of the tax for the next 2 years, clean up your cap sheet, and then start over.
You guys trust Kobe Altman? Wow, that's
No.
I think that's a compliment. I mean,
well, to do the job, to be the shepherd of this next era,
to get us to the
or
to get us back.
Not everything he tells us is board. Two different questions.
Oh yeah,
sorry.
No,
I think it's the first part. Turning the team around.
Do you trust him to turn the team around, to make the right calls, to draft the right players, and
I mean, when you talk about turn the team around again, like franchises haven't recovered ever from things like this. So I think Kobe has a chance. I think Kobe has a chance to do some good things here. I think it's going to be difficult. I think that we all need to keep in mind that this is a job that he did not ask for. This is a task that he did not ask for, and he's just been kind of dropped into it. And for his sake and for his career, I really hope that he does do well, because there's been some forces working against him just by the nature of the job as he took it over. And he had to trade Kyrie and it didn't work out, and now LeBron's gone. So that's a tough way to start, but he's worked hard. I thought he did a good job, all things considered, at the February 8th deadline. The one thing they do want to do, and Kobe wants to do, is they want to try to build a system. Instead of the system being one player, they want to, in this rebuild or whatever you want to call it, they want to make it so top to bottom they're more organizationally sound.
Kobe was thrust into a job that he wasn't really ready for. I think we can all, if we're going to be truthful here, he was number three. He went from 3 to 1. That's a huge jump to make at a really bad time to make it, considering where the franchise was. And that was a disservice to him to put him in that position. Having said that, I personally really like Kobe. I've said that over and over again. I've been hard on him at times over the course of last year, but I think he could do a fine job in his proper time, which wasn't last year. I think about Luke Fickell at Ohio State, who was kind of being groomed to be the replacement to Tressel. Dustin, you probably know that better than I do, but he was thrown into it probably before he was ready. And then
he wins 6 games.
And then he lost it.
Yeah.
And I just worry about Kobe's future beyond this contract, if this will damage him long term. Just because he was thrown into something before he was ready for it, I just worry that it'll damage his long-term career.
Will Dan finally re-sign a GM or what?
Hey, he hasn't yet. But, and that's the important thing when you say, can you trust Kobe to do the job? It's really, can you trust Dan to let his front office do the job? And my answer to that is no.
He has the work ethic and the ambition to make it happen.
Yes.
Guys, we've done 3 hours, and darn it, feels like it's not enough.
I have so much more.
There's more things I want to get to, but we are out of time. Let's do a final thought from each of you. We don't know what the future holds, and obviously this team's not going to be the same. The coverage is not going to be the same.
Right.
So just a final thought from each of you, if you want to, whatever you want to talk about in terms of the last 4 years, looking ahead, whatever you want to hit on in the final minute for each.
Well, this has come up a lot in the last few days. I was joking around on Twitter and said, farewell tour. Me, Joe, and Dave together one more time. Everyone's like, well, where's everyone going? And I'll let everyone speak to, how their job changes. For me, I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying in Cleveland. I will probably not be covering this team on a day-to-day basis. I'll probably branch into something more covering all of the Cleveland teams. Actually, I'll have that discussion with people from The Athletic while I'm in Vegas, and we'll hammer out a plan of what exactly it is I'm going to be doing. But it probably will not be doing this team 82 games a year. I can almost promise you that. But it's been an incredible ride. I've absolutely loved my time with these two guys. They're my best friends, and it's some of the best memories I've had in my life, and I'm going to miss the hell out of them. But I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying in Cleveland. I'll still have a footprint on the Cavs. It just won't be on a day-to-day basis.
Joe?
Yeah, I mean, for now, among the three of us, I would say that my job changes the least, which means, in a way, it changes the most, because I'm going to be on the road. I'm going to be traveling and chasing the news on this team without my two brothers. And I have no idea what that's going to be like. I mean, in a way, I've been comparing this, what happened here with LeBron and leaving, to a brain injury, in that you have to let the swelling go down before you really know anything. So I'm not planning on going anywhere for now, or I'm not planning on going anywhere.
Right.
But I just know that life is going to be different, and I don't know how that's going to feel.
Not covering the governor's race.
You'll get some sleep on the roads this time.
Some sleep, yeah, yes, right. Yes. Those bags under my eyes will be gone.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know where I'll be next year, but I'm fairly confident in saying I won't be in Cleveland. And it's been a fantastic 4 years, and I had never lived here before. I remember walking off the airplane on a late September night in Hopkins and seeing the little, Cleveland crest or whatever inlaid into the floor there, and like walking over it and say, wow, I'm walking into something I have no idea what's going to happen. And I made great friends, and I fell in love with the city. I always look forward to trips back here in the future, whereas before I lived here, it wasn't necessarily one I circled on the calendar. And I feel fortunate about that, and we'll see where it goes. Hopefully, I continue to get to chronicle LeBron.
You're going to get a tan. You know that.
No more winter for you.
I get red.
Yeah, there you go. Well, guys, hey, you've all come, not that you won't in the future, but you've all come on with us so many times,
yeah,
and we really appreciate it. You've all done an amazing job covering the Cavs and being on top of it, and we want to thank you for all your time today and all the time that all three of you have given us over the past 4 years. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, guys.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.